This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the Leadership Platform, and you are still chilling with Bongani Tau. And shout out to Sasha for putting together both segments that we've had. And as per usual, the Leadership Platform is brought to you by the Leadership Platform and Student Brands. For the second segment, the ideation behind it is we have leaders as per the first segment that are leading in the corporate, social and socio-economic issues. And then we have the kind of leaders that are still leaders in their right because they're driving movement, like Jean-Michel Basquiat, who was leading neo-expressionism. We have cubism from Pablo Picasso. So this is the creative and imaginative kind of leaders that are leading in the creative space, right? So we're done with the left brain, which is the more serious side of things. Now we're on the right brain.
Indeed.
Let's have some fun.
So I have with me in studio Z, who's an exceptional artist.
I've heard. Vicious rumor going around. Vicious rumor.
And that is Z for you, actually. And we have with him Zarif. So what I'm going to have them do is introduce themselves before we go any further.
Zarif, you want me to take this?
Yeah, thank you.
Drum roll, please. My name is Zamani Ngidi. I go by the alias Z. I am a musician. I hail from the east side of Johannesburg in a little suburb called Rynfield. I've been making music for probably 10 years. I've been rapping since I was like a toddler, so put another 20 on that and you get that's me. Yeah, and I'm probably, in the future I'm probably going to be the biggest export from South Africa.
So that's the spirit. That's
confidence. Someone's got to believe in themselves. So exactly. After that, I'm going to pass it over to my main man, Mr. Minty.
So look, I think first things first, Zamani is exceptional, just so we can put that out there right now. So I'm Zarif Minty. I'm 23 years old. I'm a best-selling author. I won SABC One's One Day Leader. And I am managing, a lot of beautiful, amazing artists and clients. And Zamani is one of them for my PR and marketing company. So it's such an honor and a privilege to be here with you guys.
Thank you very much for joining us in the studio today.
Oh, man.
Hopefully we...
I teared up a little there. I was like, wow.
So we're showcasing local talent. A lot of light is shown on the people that are already relevant as per the radio play and otherwise airplay that they're getting. But not a lot of artists for what the name means get the spotlight that they deserve.
Yeah, man.
So now, tell us about Z. Firstly, you started, you said, at a very young age.
Yeah, I guess.
Rapping.
I guess I'll take you on a brief little journey of how it all started.
How it all started.
And, how we got here, I suppose. So when I was a kid, I used to, my older cousins used to watch a lot of hip-hop. So, Tupac Shakur, your Notorious B.I.G., way back when, and they used to watch these videos. So I always, my cousins would always have, this big thing for these guys. So I was like, I wanted to impress my older cousins. So I started learning what they did, which was just, rhyme words. So there's actually a video of me, there's a clip of me, literally 4 years old at my cousin's 16th birthday, and I was rhyming about ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. And I just, I kept on doing that and did that through primary school. And then when I got into high school, I actually learned how to make beats.
Okay.
Produce my own songs. Got a little rinky-dink studio at my house, and I just kept on working on my craft. And then I've released a couple of projects. We released Champagne and Heartbreak in 2014. And then we did Give It Time, and Give It Time garnered the attention of an important person, the man on my left. We've had discussions, and now hopefully, this is going to be the start of a beautiful thing in a great, great couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So hopefully that covers the spectrum. Hopefully.
What inspired you about pretty much the artists that you listened to, because they were leaders as well in their own right.
Yeah.
A lot of movement. Thug Life was really big when Tupac Shakur was alive, and even post his death.
I think the coolest thing about the art as a genre, if I can put it that way, a bad word. But the thing is that if you look at hip hop and how it's grown, it went from, you know, the sort of, you know, rough, rugged thug mentality, you know, Tupac Shakur is all about the gangster life, Notorious B.I.G. And now we've sort of gotten to the stage where guys, you know, you have like nerds making music and they're successful at it. So it's a little bit weird. Like you have, you look at a guy like Drake, who was a child actor from Degrassi, and all of a sudden he's the biggest hip hop artist in the world. And it's sort of the looking at the growth and how, you know, the human population, if I can put it that way, but they sort of jump onto leaders that have a belief in themselves, I think, a confidence, and they speak from a place of truth. And I think it's a big thing that people actually recognize, that if you're not truthful about the music you make or the persona you have, people are smart enough to pick up that, you know, that guy's trying to fool us, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been pretty cool to see.
He's very superficial. He's not talking about anything relevant to what's currently going on around in society.
Yeah, you know.
And I guess that's why a lot of people appreciated conscious rap, because it was addressing issues that were happening currently
at
the time.
And I think it also follows a trend. I mean, if you have to look at it, it follows a trend of human, not human evolution, but like where we are as humans. I mean, like back then was a lot of a darker time than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like things evolve.
True.
So now at a stage, what happens is that we resonate a lot more with each other, because, you know, times aren't that hard. So we rap about the good times and we resonate that, because, I mean, you think about this flashy type of hip hop. It's been around for like a long time. It's now becoming more mainstream than what it actually was. Because of the fact that we have all evolved to that stage. I think maybe it comes with me, my age, and sort of following the music. But for me, that's what I see. That's just my opinion. So conscious rap had its place back then. I think conscious rap now, it's a little bit much.
How would you describe conscious rap, though?
Conscious rap, I think, in my opinion, it's probably when you get a little bit too deep, like, you know, those internal thoughts you have that are dark. That's for me, that's where conscious rap is. And you try to lose people within your wordplay. Someone that bridges a gap really well in terms of conscious rap and commercial rap is probably like the best one to ever do it is probably like Eminem.
Okay.
I think he's brilliant at that. He makes that deep stuff in your head relevant, like you can still jam to it. Yeah,
to
you know,
it,
I
yeah.
think I think Dra- yeah, I think Drake's also really good at that. Where he's exposing a side where you only have like internal thoughts about it, and then he has it out, and that's why you resonate with him. So artists now, I think you have to somehow resonate with your consumer at a base level. You know, guys like Migos with the, what's that new song,
Bad and Bougie.
Yeah, like that's cool, but if someone had to be like, yo,
trap,
what do you know about Migos, you're gonna be like, Bad and Bougie, man.
Yeah,
and that's not, you don't want people to know you for being Bad and Bougie, you know. But when you talk about Eminem, you'll be like, yo, this guy, firstly, you know, his daughter, and then his mom, and then the trail, and then he moved. Like you actually have, if you look at his album, it's like a chronic, like it's a chronology of what of his life. It's literally like a biography. Like, go listen to Marshall Mathers from 2002 and go through all Encore, all the albums, and get to where he is now, and you'll understand the dude. You know, you'll be like, nah, I know this guy. And that's for me, is like, that's where music is. But it's also making it relevant to everyone else, you know?
So now, in shaping who you are as an artist,
yeah,
what kind of role did these people and the kind of music that you listen to contribute to this?
I think the biggest thing is that you obviously have to recognize what resonates with people. So you have to actually take into account that songs like Lose Yourself are big songs. Like, you look at Lose Yourself is a conscious song. It is a conscious song. But then why is it that if I can sit in this room right now and I'll be like, his palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms, everyone can start rapping with me.
Yeah.
There's vomit on his sweater already. And it's like, okay, but then how did that guy make something about him struggling to be a rapper so popular. How did he do that? And you just gotta, you gotta learn one thing you do, and I think it's a little bit subconscious. I don't do it on purpose, but I'm great with rhythms, like rhythms, and just making the music, relate to people. So making a sound that's very current. So you don't rap about, even if you rap Bad and Bougie over a bad rhythm beat, it's not going to be the same. So you've got to have the, you have to find the balance. And I think it's a talent that you work hard for. It comes with repetition. But yeah, over time, I think that's the only, that's the best way to put it. It's hard when, like, someone asks, how do you make music? Well, where do we begin? You know, it's so diverse. So I was like, yeah, I think that's the best way I can answer the question.
So now, Zarif, now I wanna pull you into the conversation as well. How did you meet with Z? And what is it about Z that made you say, you know what, I'm gonna sign this guy under my PR agency? Because and I know PR guys are very obsessed about brands.
Yeah.
There's something about this brand that drew you to him. And so, what was that?
So, I mean, I literally wrote a whole book speaking about commercializing yourself and how to build up your brand, right? And I'm all about relationships. I'm all about, you know, making sure that you have sustainable, strong, long-term relationships. Mm-hmm. I've known the guy who's actually on Zamani's right now, and he's sitting in the studio right now. You know, we've introduced him a little bit, but not that much. Uh-huh. And he's played such an important role in Zamani's life. So I just want to, you know, acknowledge him over there. His name is Tony.
Yes.
Tony's been with Zamani
for... you want to come close to the mic?
Yeah, just come in and introduce yourself.
Let me jump in. What's up, guys?
Yes, I mean, that's how I actually got to know Zamani, is through Tony. Tony's been a friend of mine for years. And, you know, one day he did contact me. He just got into contact with me. And he told me, listen, Zarif, I know you have a marketing company, but I have someone that I think you really like having on the show. I mean, on your platform.
Yes.
You know, can we work with him? And he sent me one of his songs, and automatically I called Tony back, and I'm like, bro, bring him here.
Who's
I want to start working with him
Who
now.
Who is this guy?
Yeah, like, Zamani has that presence. He has that ability. Do you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. You end up, I mean, I work with a lot of artists, and I also see a lot of artists from the people that I actually meet up with. And there's a differentiation between the two. So you get people who are passionate about what they do, and there's people who act as if they're passionate about what they do. Mm. Zamani's the most passionate guy I've ever met, you know, when it comes to music and knowing his stuff and, you know, making sure that he loves music. Uh-huh. And it's such a pleasure working with someone like that. I mean, you know, the marketing company is what, 7 months old, but I want to be with Zamani for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years at least to see his growth, because he has so much of potential, and it's really going to grow from strength to strength, without a doubt. Yeah.
Well, what was so unique about him, though?
I think the fact that, look, I've always spoken about concepts, right? And there's a concept that I'm so against, which is being so pro going into, you know, education only, being stuck in the corporate life. I've always spoke about entrepreneurship. Here's the money who's in the corporate world, right? But he's creating some form of an entrepreneurship where he's now building and selling his music.
His music, yes.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's such a wonderful message to put out to young people out there, that go out and get your education, do well, go to university, get a corporate job, but don't forget about your passion in life. Don't forget about your dreams in life. Uh-huh. And the fact that he's so successful and so talented just makes it so easy for me to, you know, I cannot say no to someone like that. Yeah. In fact, I actually want him in my company because he's obviously going to make a lot of money.
Also, I have an incredible jawline.
So you're in the corporate space, and what do you do there?
I'm actually a risk consultant. So what I do is that I go around to companies and I analyze their processes, their activities, and I sort of, identify risks that they have, and I quantify that, and I give you, and I try to give you ways to mitigate that risk in the most cost-effective way. That's pretty much what I do in a short summary.
How do you balance the two?
You know what? It's. I think it's comes from habit. The biggest thing is that you can't do something on the side that you don't love. You know, so you come back from your 9-to-5, that's what everyone calls it, and you know, you've got the thing that you're going to be doing has to rejuvenate you, you know. So you put energy into that, but at the same time you got to feel like you're getting energy from that. So for me, that's sort of the easiest way. I know it's like a cop out, but the only reason why it's so effortless for me to do is because I genuinely love making music. And that's the best way I can put it. It's not a hard thing to juggle. It's just like, it's what I've been doing since I was 16. I'd come back after school and I'd spend the first 5 hours where I was supposed to be doing homework making beats. And then I'd realize at like 7, 8 o'clock, like, oh, wait, we've got 2 hours to smash like 4 hours worth of homework. So this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we still don't finish the homework. We come to school and start doing homework in the bathroom, and then we finish and we wrap up, and you know, we somehow made it. So
what are some of the challenges that are there in the musical climate of South Africa, especially as a come up?
Yeah, man, I think as a come up, it's difficult. It's difficult, especially when you're not supported by a major label. Mm-hmm. But the one thing, and it's the nuance that the brilliance that comes with doing it, is that there's a challenge that if you find, you know, I'm blessed to have guys like Tony and Zarif, where you have like a really good team of people that know what they're doing, and you sort of just have to look at it, and it helps because of what I do, but you have to look at it from a logical way. There's got to be cost to benefit analysis in everything that you do. You know, you've got to know why you're spending that money on that video. You've got to know, mm-hmm, what's the best way to utilize that video in a way that's going to get me the most amount of people. And I think the industry has grown a lot from where it came from. And a big shout out has to go to like guys like AK and Casper Nyovest, guys that, you know, South African artists that have filled out the dome, rappers that fill out, you know, the dome, which is like 22,000 people, mm-hmm, which, you know, before that, as a rapper in South Africa, that was not going to happen.
House was very dominant, you know, at a point in time.
Yeah, you know, so that was just not going to happen. So now you have guys that are out there that, like, for me, you know, as successful as I plan to be, I always have to pay homage to those guys because they sort of maybe believe that, you know what, you can actually do this and make a decent living out of it. But you got to look at it the right way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So sorry to cut you short.
No problem.
Just to wrap things up quickly. What are your final words to an artist like yourself who probably is in the corporate space or just in the music space alone that wants to make it? What kind of message would you leave to that person? And Zarif as well, running your own company has its perks. What would you say to a Zarif before you started the company that you run? We'll start with Zamani.
I think for me the biggest thing is that you've got to start understanding the theory of how to make things from, how to make what's in your head plausible in reality.
Okay.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
After that, hard work and belief. That's just the basics. But in terms of, that's just the core principles. And then from there on, I just say, you know, use your brain when you do this. You may look at rappers on their music videos getting drunk and doing X, Y, and Z, but always remember that this is ultimately why they call it the music business. Mm-hmm. It's not just music. So always think about that. I think that's the best advice I could give someone.
You can give someone.
Look, I think, you know, it's very important that you have a 5-year and a 10-year plan.
Okay.
So whether you're coming out of, you know, school, high school or university, you need to have some form of an indication of where you're headed or what's the end goal and then work towards it. I mean, the marketing company opened up, like I said, 6-7 months ago, mm-hmm, but it's been, you know, in its structure for about 3-5 years now. So, you know, every person I interacted with, there was a specific reason for me to actually build up a relationship with them so that the marketing company can thrive through it. So it's that whole concept where you need to obviously consider what your plan of action is and then make sure you develop around it. I mean, I have huge ambitions to make the company, you know, one of the biggest in Africa.
Uh-huh.
And with people like Zamani, you know, it's actually possible. It can happen because you have the talent there. You know, now you can push it out. You can grow it out there. You can, you know, make it successful. So
Zamani, to keep in track with your music and what's going to be coming up in 2017, what are your social media handles?
You know, go to Instagram. It's the handle for that is ZNoIR. Mm-hmm. And then everything else from Facebook, Facebook, Twitter, it's This Is Z1. And then if you just want to listen to some of my music, just Google Z Give It Time. You'll see everything pop up there. Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming through to the show. And hopefully everything works out for you guys, being at the forefront of pioneering your own way.
Highly appreciate it. Yes. Thank you for having me.
And to our listeners at home, it doesn't matter what part of the brain is dominant, whether the left or the right, whether you are the Nelson Mandela or the Miriam Makeba in the musical space, that you have that power to make that change and influence people in the right way and be a lead. And leadership is about movement. Thank you very much for tuning in to Youth Leadership Platform. From me, Bongani Tau, and from the studio team, we are signing out. Goodbye and God bless.
This is CliffCentral.com.